From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. This passage describes mankind's descent into unspeakable wickedness and perversion, the result of having rejected God's revealed truth about himself. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, it is this suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. Again, we see that man has no excuse for not knowing God, for even the very heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 25 says that sinful men have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. As Dr. Cairns shows, the exact translation calls this the lie, for this is self-deception in the very highest degree. It is the rejection of God's revelation, the consequences of which are darkness in this world and eternal damnation in the next. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, Rejectors of God Rejected. First of all, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our devotional for today is entitled, Uncover and Confess Sin. The text is Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here is the way of mercy for a guilty and repenting sinner. He must cease from the habit of covering sin. This is attempted by falsehood, which denies sin, by hypocrisy, which conceals it, by boasting, which justifies it, and by loud profession, which tries to make amends for it. The sinner's business is to confess and forsake. The two must go together. Confession must be honestly made to the Lord Himself, and it must include within itself acknowledgment of the wrong, sense of its evil, and abhorrence of it. We must not throw the fault upon others, nor blame circumstances, nor plead natural weakness. We must make a clean breast of it, and plead guilty to the indictment. There can be no mercy till this is done. Furthermore, we must forsake the evil. Having owned our fault, we must disown all present and future intent to abide in it. We cannot remain in rebellion and yet dwell with the King's majesty. The habit of evil must be quitted, together with all places, companions, pursuits, and books which might lead us astray. Not for confession, nor for reformation, but in connection with them we find pardon by faith in the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Did God reveal himself initially to Adam? But as I indicated, as a personal belief, don't say that it has to be a matter of orthodoxy, but I think I can defend it from Scripture, that when he did so, and men fell into sin, God used what he had created, especially in the heavens, to teach them the gospel. I pointed out that the psalmist tells us he gave the stars their names. We speak of the Big Dipper in Britain. Well, remember in school being sent out at night to look up in the sky and find all these things. I don't know if I found them or imagined I found them, but the teacher was happy and I was happy and the thing was done. We called it the plough. You call it the Big Dipper, Ursa Major. That's not the name God gave to it. He gave them their names. I said the last time we looked at this, I think that astrology is part of man's depravity, taking an original revelation from God. For the Scripture, on a few occasions, draws our attention to the signs and the names of the zodiac as being a revelation of truth. Not some mystical way that stars plot your fate. That's the devil's invention. That's witchcraft. Utter witchcraft. But with the revelation in creation, God added very quickly the word to interpret it. Remember that Adam and the early patriarchs lived a very long time. Sure, there was a stream of truth that went to the nations. Yet they went into utter apostasy so that God had to destroy the world, all except the family of Noah. So again, the world starts out from a relatively pure base. From Noah and his sons, with the revelation of God all around them and within them. And the word for Noah was a prophet of righteousness. Noah spoke for God. With the word to interpret that revelation. And yet it wasn't long till men arrived at Babel. And from Babel they overspread the earth with their wickedness and with their deception. God revealed himself to all mankind. But as Paul tells us here, men held the truth. They held it down. They tried to suppress it. They stifled it in their unrighteousness. Man chose his own religion and his own gods. And therefore we read the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And what we read from verse 24 onwards through this first chapter is a description of the wrath of God in operation. The world came to be the way it was, first because of man's sin, and second, because of God's judgment on that sin. Notice three times, verse 24, 26, and 28. It says, God gave them up, or God gave them over. It's the same term in every case. Three times, God gave them up. The idea in the Greek verb is that he abandoned them to their own lusts. He removed the restraints that he had placed on their self-destroying wickedness. He delivered them over to the mastery of their own evil desires. Now this is Paul's statement about how the world that he lived in came to be in the state it was. Now all of this is vitally important for us today, because Paul's description of the ancient world portrays the modern world with disconcerting accuracy. You could be forgiven in reading Romans chapter 1 in thinking that it was penned exclusively with modern society in mind. Now, obviously that is not so, but it does apply to America today. It does apply to the world today. And so I want us to look at this passage. And I want to sum it up in a very simple statement. And this is what we pursue tonight. That God rejects those who reject him, but he still holds out to them the hope of the gospel. God rejects those who reject him, but he still holds out to them the hope of the gospel. And in dealing with that, I have three very simple points. And I hope very brief points. When I said to my wife on the way to the meeting tonight, I hope to get through all the way from verse 24 to 32 in Romans chapter 1, there was silence. It was the silence of unbelief. But I'm still going to try. I want tonight to draw your attention first to the sin of those who reject God. Then we will look at the sentence upon those who reject God. And finally, in verse 32, a word about the stubbornness of those who reject God. So it's very simple. The sin, the sentence, and the stubbornness. Now, anybody in his right mind could preach on that. And very briefly. Well, we'll try. Notice verse 25. This is the sin of those who reject God. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature. What has been created more than him who created it. That's the idea. Serve the created thing more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. The truth of God. That's a phrase that appears three times in this book of Romans. Here in chapter 1, verse 25. You'll find it again in chapter 3, verse 7. And again in chapter 15, verse 8. The truth of God may mean three distinct things. And commentators are divided as to what it means. It may mean simply the true God. How do you arrive at that? The truth of God. You'll have to get a book on Greek grammar and syntax. And you'll discover that when they come to deal with the word of, the discussion runs to about 50 pages. Of. Such a little word, what does it mean? There's so many ways in which the genitive may be used. Here it may be what is called a genitive of apposition. In other words, the truth of him who is God. The truth of God, meaning God himself is the truth that is revealed. It may speak of the true God. William Hendrickson, for example, the famous New Testament scholar and commentator, espouses that view. It may mean the truth about God. Another great commentator, Robert Haldane, said that it means the attributes essential to his being. The truth about God. And that makes good sense in this passage. Or it may mean simply the truth that God has made known. His entire self-revelation to men. I think, personally, that is the best interpretation. In the other passages that I've quoted, that would seem to cover them all. It speaks of the truth that God has made known to man. Now, what did man do with this truth of God? They changed it into a lie. Let me retranslate that. Because there is a little prefix to the verb that is overlooked in the word changed. It is the word exchanged. And the phrase can only really mean they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And that's the force of it. Not just a lie, but the lie. They exchanged God's truth for the lie. Now stop and think of it. They exchanged the worship of God for idolatry. Go back to verse 23 and you'll see that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed exchanged the worship of God for idolatry. It's very interesting in verse 25 that in contrast to the vile idols of men, Paul speaks of the Creator who is blessed, that is praised, glorified forever. The scripture draws this fundamental distinction between God, the true and living God, and the idols of man's production. God made men. Men make idols. And idols make nothing. They have eyes, but they see not. Ears that hear not. Feet that cannot walk. Hands that cannot move. They have to be borne upon the shoulders of those who have made them, whereas our living and true God comes and bears His people in the arms of everlasting grace and power. This is the distinction that Paul is making here as soon as he turns his attention to the what I would biblically call a paroxysm of pain. Why do I say that? Well, go back to Acts chapter 17, verse 16, and you'll read that while Paul waited in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. The word stirred is the word that gives us the English word paroxysm. His heart was deeply pained in him when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. And as in utter revulsion at the vile wickedness of idolatry, he turns his gaze upon the mighty Creator. Even though he's dealing with apostasy, all he could cry out was, Amen. Thank God I'm not an idolater. Thank God I'm not in that cesspool of human idolatry. Thank God I'm not bowing down to gods of wood and stone or other idols of man's making. Thank God I know the living and the true God and I'm worshiping Him. He is the Creator who is to be praised forever. But men took the very opposite tact and they exchanged the worship of God for idolatry. They exchanged the word of God for invention, for the lie, the falsehood, the invention of man. They had the revelation of God and they turned from the light of revelation to the darkness of the lie. They came away from a revelation to a human invention. And the reference again is primarily to the lie of idolatry. It is a lie. Nowadays we are taught to believe that all religions are just expressions of one central truth. That they are all aspects of the worship of the one God. It doesn't matter whether you call Him Jehovah or Allah, or whether you are a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Romanist or a Protestant, a Bible believer or a rationalist, it doesn't really matter, because ultimately all these are but aspects of the truth of the one God. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? The Bible says this is the lie, not just a lie, not one of many lies. It is preeminently the lie that undergirds every other lie. This is the lie that is at the heart of the condition, the state of the world that Paul is here describing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.